most moment. He's in the desert. We saw that last time. He's been in the desert for almost 40 years. Moses, when he was about 40 years old, thought it was time. He'd been raised in the Egyptian palace. He was the prince of Egypt. But he knew he was a Hebrew. And he thought that God had spoken to him and that he was going to go and deliver the Hebrews. And so he ran ahead of God, killed an Egyptian. Word got out. He ran. He fled. Pharaoh wanted his hide. And so now he ran to the desert. And he sits down by a well. And we saw that last time. So let's go with the message today. Moses' moment. It came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. So time passed. The guy that wanted his hind end is dead. The children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage that they're under in Egypt. They cried. Their cry came up unto God by reason of their bondage. And God heard their groanings. And God remembered His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel. And God had respect unto them. And this is setting the scene for us today with Moses' moment. Moses has been in the desert now for about 40 years. So if he left, if he killed the Egyptian when he was 40, and he's been in the desert for about 40 years, how old is he now? Somebody tell me. About 80. It's interesting, when Moses died, a good while from now, the Bible says that he was still strong and his eye was not dim. So this was a strong man, a tough man. It's here that God took Moses to school in the desert, the 40 years that he'd been in the desert. We saw it last week. We had the chalkboard, remember last week, with the schooling that he got. It's called the school of hard knocks. That's where we go. That's where we mature. When things get tough, when things get hard, that's how we mature. I call it the floor life. When you've hit the bottom, when you're on the floor, that's not the worst place in the world to be on the floor. At least you've stopped the free fall, amen? It's there on the floor, I said last week. Like if you're in a fire, they tell you to get on the floor. That's where actually you can breathe again. Many times it's right there on the floor. You get perspective about who God is and who you are. And so he's on the floor out there in the desert. He's hurting. But now he's been there for a while and God's got his attention. He's no longer self-reliant. He's not saying, I'm going to deliver you right now. He's not doing that anymore. He's out in a desert. He's not self-reliant. He's been humbled. I'll tell you what. Desert, working with sheep. And this is the prince of Egypt. He had everything. And now he has nothing. And who knows what he even looks like out there that long. That sun, that baking sun on his skin, his life. He has become a shepherd of sheep. That's what he does now for a living. But he's learned to depend on God out there. Before he feasted sumptuously in Egypt. But now he's having to rely on somebody else to feed him. But he is being fed. He becomes content in the desert. He becomes content. It's not a bad thing when you struggle and when you're hurting to be content with your struggle or with your hurt or with your pain as long as God's with you. Amen? I wish I had a wand that can make all your problems go away. They don't go away. What I can tell you is this, that God will be with you. If you humble yourself, that's what he was with Moses. And you know what? In his situation out there in the desert, he gets married to a woman. They have a son, and he finds his identity out there in that desert in those hard times. Moses actually becomes secure. The prince of Egypt, the guy that had everything and has nothing now, is secure with who he is. And so now, do you think God might can use the guy now? Yes or no? Say. He ain't full of himself anymore. God can use him. God has Moses right where he wants him, and he's going to use him now. And I want you to see that this morning. Hang in here with me. Now, let's look at Moses' moment. And I'm trying to fly as good as I can. Keep going. Look at Exodus 3:1. Now Moses, he's about 80 years old. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, out there in this desert. And he led the flock to the backside of the what? And he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. This was a usual day in the life of Moses. This is what he did. He fed the sheep. He led the sheep. Y'all with me? All right. Y'all ain't going to sleep on me, have you? Hang in here with me. Come on. Here we go. He fed the sheep. That's what he did. It was a usual day. It was an ordinary day. And if you're going to have your moment with God, I'm going to tell you something. It's probably going to come on an ordinary day. Remember that. So he's out there. He's feeding the sheep. Some of you will know this story. Look at Exodus 3:2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto Moses. Say it with me. in a flame of fire out of the middle of a what? Bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and it was not what? Consumed. Now they tell us, people that know this desert, know this area, it's even been on the Discovery Channel, how that bushes, it's so hot in that desert, and you got these little dry bushes and the intense heat, it's not uncommon to see a bush burn in the desert. You think Moses in his 40 years doing the sheep, one and all over that desert, you think you probably ever seen one of these little suckers burn up before, yes or no? Sure he had. Most likely he had. Okay, it was a common bush. It dotted the desert landscape. It was probably even common that you saw some of them, oh, they had another burnt bush. After a while, you get probably, you know, they had another burnt bush. I guess after the first one, it may have made some sense to you. After you see a gazillion of them, it's no big deal anymore. So the bush is burning. But what does it say? The bush was not what? Consumed. Now keep listening. This is Mo's moment. This is Mo's chance. And I want you to know something. God responds to Moses' response. Say that with me. God responds to Moses' response. Some of you are waiting. Listen to me. Some of you are waiting for lightning to hit you. Some of you are waiting for some kind of crazy experience that you're going to have for you to follow God, for you to believe in God, for you to really give your heart to God, for you to get right with God. You're waiting on something crazy to happen. But I'm going to tell you something. God's waiting on you to move. He's waiting on your response. God's God. You ain't. You ain't got no little bell. You're around. Okay, move, God. Move, God. Move. He ain't moving for you. You see what I'm saying? So God doesn't do anything. Bush burning. Bush burning. Bush burning. Ain't consumed, but the bush is burning. And he's waiting on Moses to respond. And Moses does. Watch it. And Moses said, I'm going to turn inside and see this great sight. Why is that bush not burned up? And so Moses makes the move, doesn't he? Did you see it? Yes or no? Don't miss it. It's really important. He decides, normal day, usual day, dumb little bushes everywhere, bunch of them all burn up already, there's another one on fire. But he decides to make a turn and see where that bush isn't burned up. And look what happens. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Keep following. Moses said, I'll turn aside and see. We already saw that. God called unto him, Moses, Moses. And then Moses gives a simple answer. Sometimes in our moment with God, we think we got to have the big flowery words, the big fancy speech. Got to have lightning hit us first, by the way. Then we got to get these big words. God's not looking for big words out of you. A yes, sir, would be fine. Say that with me. Yes, sir. Let's try it again. Yes, sir. Let's try it one more time. Yes, sir. That'll get you a long way with God. That's what Moses says. Moses, Moses. He went, yes, sir. Amen? What would you do? Yes, sir. Amen? God speaks to him. He says, here I am. Here I am. And if you want a moment with God, that's what you've got to say. Here I am. And we're going to build the case a little further. Keep looking. So it was a usual day. He's feeding the sheep. It was a common bush. There'd even been other ones that burned out there before. And his answer was a what kind of answer? Did you know that usual day, that common bush, and his simple answer became this? Pop it up. It became a sacred place. A sacred place. A holy place. Look at what God says in the next verse. Because God shows up and God speaks. That's what makes a moment with God. That's what makes a place sacred. That's why we can take a high school like this where they used it for drama like you saw today. And you know what we can do? We can come in here as believers and we can start talking about Jesus and the Word of God. And you know what? This becomes what kind of place? Somebody tell me. Sacred place. Holy place. How many have felt the touch of God in this building before? Can I see your hands? That's what I'm talking about. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So don't be confused. It's not lightning. It's not going to happen on this unusual day, most likely. And it's not going to come with some big flowery speech from you. A yes, sir, will be fine. And he'll start working. Keep listening. So God said to him, draw not nigh hither, Moses. You know this part. Read it with me. Put off your shoes from off your feet, for the place where thou standest, say it with me, is what? Holy ground. Keep that in mind. Holy ground. Moses was told to take off his shoes. We're going to see that in a little bit. By the way, this is the first time, in case you're taking a note or two, the first time in your Bible that the word holy is used. That's interesting to me. You know what God sees as holy? You saying yes to Him. He sees that as holy. You starting to respond to who He is and say, yes, Lord. And then He starts to speak back. And you know what God says? Take your shoes off. This is a holy time. We're going to see that a little bit later. Now God gives Moses his moment. This is what I've been trying to get to. I've been flying. Exodus 3, 6 through 10. Moses now has his moment. He's been wanting this moment for so long. When he was 40, he killed the Egyptian. He thought that was the moment. Now he's been in the desert for 40 years, going half crazy out there. Hot, man. Whole different way of life. But he's been changed in the desert. Moses ain't the guy he used to be. Different guy. If you saw him now, these 40 years later, he wouldn't look like the prince of Egypt anymore. He's weathered, he's worn, his skin's hardened and hands calloused. He doesn't smell too good. Moses doesn't. He's not eating that fancy stuff he used to eat. But he's getting by. Amen? And here now God wants to give him this moment. Verse 6, moreover he said, God speaking, I'm the God of your father, Moses, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face. He was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I've surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. You ain't the only one knows about their problem, Jack. I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. I know their sorrows. I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, a large land, a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, Moses. And I've also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians have oppressed them. Verse 10, Moses' moment. Look at it. Come now, therefore, and I will send you, Moses, unto Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Wouldn't you think, I mean, this is crazy, ain't it? Isn't this what Moses wanted to do all along, yes or no? Yeah, that's why he killed the Egyptian. Now his moment's here. But Moses is a different man now, isn't he? He's not the big shot anymore. He doesn't have the confidence he used to have. He's humbled. You know, he doesn't think he's all that. And did you know what? That's really when you can have a moment with God. He hates pride. He hates being us full of us ourselves. He hates that with a passion. Okay? God resists the proud, the Bible says, but he gives grace to the what? Help me. Humble. And so that's Moses. And now he says, Moses, I'm going to send you, and you're going to deliver the Hebrews, the Israelites, from the Egyptians. Before, though, Moses ran ahead of God, didn't he? He ran ahead, killed the Egyptian. Then what did Moses do? He retreated into the desert. Bad idea. It's hot out there, baby. He came in that desert. And now guess what Moses is going to do? Say it with me. He does what? Resist. He has his chance. He has his moment. I'm trying to make this personal because I want you and me to be good leaders. Leaders in our home, leaders as a mom, leader as a dad. As a young person, be a leader. You won't be a leader for God if you resist His call. But I'm glad it's in the Bible because Moses is just like us, ain't he? Let's look at it. He resists the call. First of all, Moses says, when God says, I'm sending you, Moses says this, say it with me. Who am I, God? And God says this, say it with me. I'll be with you. Look at the scripture. And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly, I'll be with you, Moses. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. So that was his first excuse, his first resistance of his moment with God. Something he'd always wanted. He has the chance and he's pushing God away. Look at the second thing he says. Say it with me. Who are you, God? And look what God says. I am that I am. All right? The problem ain't me here, buddy. I've been around a long time. I am who? The Lord God. Okay? Exodus 3:13, And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come to the children of Israel, and shall say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What's his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am sent me to you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Y'all all right so far? So he's resisting. Who am I? And then he starts questioning God. Who are you? You ever done that? Say. You wonder if you can do something for God. God's put his hand on you. You want to do something for God. But you wonder, who are you? And then you wonder if he can even do it. Number three. Who will believe me, God? That's why a lot of us don't witness for Christ. Who will believe me? Here's what God says. I'll give you power. Is that what Jesus said in Acts 1:8? And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Judea. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Is that about right? Yes or no? I think it is. I'll give you power. You'll miss your moment with God if you're talking like this. That's what Moses is doing. Moses answered and said, Look at these scriptures. They won't believe me. They won't hearken to my voice. They'll say, The Lord ain't appeared unto you. The Lord said unto him, What's that in your hand? He said, A rod. He said, Cast it to the ground. He cast it to the ground. It became a snake. And Moses fled from the snake. I would too. The Lord said unto Moses, Put your hand and take put forth your hand and take it by the tail. I wouldn't have done that. He put forth his hand, he caught it, it became a rod again in his hand. This is the power of God. That they may believe that the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, hath appeared unto you. The Lord said, Furthermore, if that ain't enough, put your hand into your bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom. When he took it out, behold, it was all messed up with leprosy and all nasty. Ah! He said, Put your hand back in your bosom. Now, I would have done that one. He put his hand into his bosom again, plucked it out. Behold, it was just fine again. He's trying to show the power of God. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to give you power, man. It shall come to pass, if they'll not believe you, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, hey, they'll believe the voice of the last sign. But God's got it all planned. Look at this one. It'll come to pass, if they won't believe these two signs, try this one. Neither hearken unto my voice, thou shalt take of the water of the river, pour it on the dry land. The water that you take out of the river is going to become what? Blood. And I got a feeling you just might get the attention then. Amen? So what does he tell Moses? I'm going to be with you. I'm going to give you power. Look at the fourth thing Moses says. Say that. You ever said this to God before? Say it with me. I can't do it, God. You ever done that before? Say, a hard situation. You can't make it. Maybe you're in a marriage. You don't think you can make it. And you say, I can't do it anymore. Yes, you can. Say that with me. Yes, you can. Come on. Don't miss your moment. So many times we say stuff like that, we quit before we ever get to where we're going, man. What God say? I will what? Teach you. Amen? God's going to teach him. Look what he says. Moses said unto the Lord, Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent. He was eloquent before, wasn't he? He was a great speaker in Egypt, according to Acts 7. But now in that desert, all he can do is go, meh. That's about all he can do. You know what I'm saying? I can't talk. I'm slow of speech. I stutter now. And the Lord said unto him, Who made man's mouth? Who made the dumb? Who made the deaf, seeing, or the blind? Didn't I do it? Now therefore you go, and I'm going to be with your mouth. Say that with me, and I will do what? Teach you what you should say. How many in here you'll be honest, from where God brought you from, you can't believe the things you're able to do now for God. Can I see your hands? And then I praise the Lord. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Bad, that's right, baby. Come on. Hang in here with me. We're flying. The fifth thing. Have you ever said this? It was your moment. It was your turn. What did Moses say? Let somebody else do it. And God says this. I'm going to give you help. I'm going to give you help. I'm going to give you some help. Now, I want to tell you something. He'd been saying this to God so long, finally God gets ticked off. He's mad. And he said unto him, Oh, my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom you going to send. That's his way of saying, you send somebody else. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know he can speak well. Also, behold, he comes forth to meet you right now. Hi, Aaron, how you doing? And when he sees you, he'll be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and you'll put words into his mouth. You'll talk to him, and I'll be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I'm going to teach you what you shall do. And he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of what? God. You're going to be God to your brother. I'm going to work through you. Isn't God patient, say? That's pretty rough, ain't it? Moses' moment. After all the excuse making, he has his chance, man. And he's resisting. He finally says what? Yes to God. Yes to God. I would not be able to stand on this platform and say Moses is the greatest leader of all time if he hadn't said yes to God. He became somebody incredible. And it happened when he was 80 years old. That's insane. I think we have stuff like that in the Bible because we're so messed up ourselves. You know, our head's messed up. We don't think we can do anything. And God says, let me show you what I can do. I can take a man who done war out in the desert, can't even talk good. All he says is, bah. And look what I can make him into. The greatest leader of all time. God can do that with you. He can make you somebody. But you've got to respond to him first. That's what Moses did. He made that response, even though he's resisting. Verse 18. He says, yes. Moses went. He returned to Jethro, his father-in-law. He said unto him, let me go, or can I go, I pray, and return unto my brethren, which are in Egypt. And I want to see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, go return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought to kill you. Now that was good news, wasn't it? He's thinking the whole time he can't do it, because there's people back there wanting to kill him too. See, God has all kinds of things to help you with the mess in your life, and things that you imagine, he's straightening out. And Moses took his wife and his sons, and he set them up on an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. That one thing I had to carry with me right there. I'm telling you that right now, that snake thing. That snake pole. We got that. Amen? I don't know about his hand thing, but I like that snake pole now. What's the point of the message today? What's the point? A, to teach you scripture about Moses. That was part of the point. You'd be surprised if you read the Bible, what it can do for you. Read it. But now let's make the point. Let's come back home. A lot of you are saying, Pastor Clark, I'd serve Jesus too if he spoke to me out of a burning bush. Aren't you? If you went home and back in your backyard is a palm tree and that thing's glowing on the top. And I know you'd serve Jesus and get all you have to the poor. I know. I understand. Okay? Remember, it was a usual day. Remember, it was a common bush. And remember, it was probably an ordinary occurrence of something like that being burned in the desert anyway. And it was a simple answer that got him to his moment. Listen very carefully. Most likely your moment with God is going to come on a usual day. This ain't spooky talk. I'm talking about a normal day. Listen, most likely your moment with God is going to occur with something that's common or ordinary. It's going to be something common or simple. Here you are talking about lightning. God say, look, I ain't that lightning. I'm right here in the room. Number three, it's going to also come with a simple answer in your response. And here's what my challenge is you today. Here's your burning bush. You have a burning bush. Did you know you have a burning bush? You got a burning bush. Here's your burning bush. I'm convinced of it. Here's the thing that you have, and I have. It's the Bible. Pop it up. Everybody's got one.
go by there every day. I'm out here in the desert. Look at the Bible. You know what I'm saying? Look, it's laying on the coffee table. Look, just know about, look, yeah. It's on fire. You don't even know. That thing's alive. It's hot. It's crazy, man, what's inside that book. It's just laying there. It's on a shelf. Come on, let's raise our hands. How many in this room, you know where you can get your hands on a Bible? Let me see your hands. There we go. It's on fire, man. You see it almost every day. Boy, in the Clark house, we lived like hell raisers, hellions. We were all fools, we were. But right on that coffee table, right around the Pabst Blue Ribbon, was that big old fat white Bible. Did y'all have one of them in your house? Let me see your hands. Somebody, was I the only crazy person? No, there it was. That big old Bible. We never read it once. Our life could have been changed a long time ago. But there's that burning thing. But we didn't turn aside to see it. I'm telling you, the Bible, that's your burning bush. That is your opportunity. Look at it, man. Look at the Bible. Let me just read some scriptures. We're going to fly. The words of what? Lamp unto my feet. It's a light unto my path. For the commandment is a lamp. The law is a light. His reproofs, they instruct me in the way of life. We have also a more sure word of prophecy whereunto you take heed as unto a what? Light that shines in a dark place. Your light can be lit up. There it is! But you're not looking. The Word of God is what? Quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged what? Sword. Pierces even to the dividing asunder of your soul and spirit. It'll get down inside of you, the joints and marrow. It's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of your heart. You want your moment with God? Your burning bush is in the house. It's there. No excuses. Oh, if I get struck by lightning. You got lightning right there. It's on the coffee table. You understand? Say. But God's waiting on your response. Oh, if God would do this and God would do that, as if God's got to answer everything you say. He's given us a book. Hitler tried to get rid of it. Stalin tried to get rid of it. People down through the ages have tried to burn those Bibles and get rid of those, and it's still standing strong. That bush, that light ain't going out, friend. I'm telling you. It's there. The words of the Lord are pure words. Say it with me. Silver done what? Tried in a what? A furnace. Purified seven times. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, Jeremiah. But his word was in my heart, say it with me, as a burning what? Bush may be burning. Shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing. I could not stay. And they said unto one another, say it with me, did not our heart what? Burn within us. While he talked with us, by the way, say that last part with us. While he opened to us the what? Scriptures. There's a lot of you in this room, you say you don't read the Bible because you can't understand the Bible. I guarantee it. I believe it with all my heart. That thing was on fire and you saw it as a source of fire and communication with God. And God wanted to talk to you out of that thing. I believe for some reason, I just firmly believe you'd probably get enough gumption to open it and chat with it. Y'all listening or not? You want to be a leader? You want your moment with God? Turn aside and see it. Let's look at it. Pop it up, Raj. You want your moment with God? Pop it up. Stop. That's what Moses did. Second, turn aside and see. He'll talk to you as you open up the pages of God's Word. And it won't be spooky talk, crazy talk. It'll be right out of the Bible, man. Then do what? Listen. And then say this, when you're reading the Bible, say this. Yes, sir. Are y'all listening or not? If there's activities in your life that are not right, if they're sinful, and you come across them in the Bible, you know what you ought to do instead of arguing with the fire? You ought to go, yes, sir. Amen. How many did that? Your life, you got saved, you became a Christian, you started reading the Bible, hearing godly preaching, gospel preaching, and you started to see things in your life that were wrong. Can I see that? That's what happens. For me, it was GD this and F this. That's the way I talked. Excuse me. You know what? And I learned in the Bible. Guess what? Shut up, Clark. Your mouth's filthy, fool. Yes, sir. Amen? Maybe you're running around with women. Did you know running around with women is not permitted in the Bible? Yes or no? Somebody tell me. Do you know adultery is not permitted in the Bible? Yes or no? Somebody tell me. You see what I'm saying? It's amazing. God will talk to you. And it's not to argue with it. It's to say, as if you want your moment with God. Now, you can have your life and live it and happy at it. Go with it, all right? But if you want your moment with God, my advice to you is to say, yes, sir. Amen? And also, you know what I recommend? Listen to me. When you're reading that Bible, when you have that time with God, when you decide to finally look over there and look at that fire, and He starts talking back to you through the Word, I'm not talking about hearing spooky talk. I'm talking He'll talk right here in these pages. Know this is holy. I recommend to you, pull your shoes off. Amen? If you need to do that, pull them off. Reading that Bible, if it needs to be that kind of, you know, mark in your mind, pull them shoes off. Amen? That's holy time right there. God's talking to you. And then finally, as He says things in the Word to you, you'll have a moment. There's no doubt about it. He's going to lead you. He's going to be touching your heart. The Holy Spirit of the living God is going to be impressing things on you as you see in the Word. And generally, they're not spooky. They're simple things. I didn't know that we were supposed to give to God's work. I didn't know that. Did you know that? Say, before you became a Christian, yes or no? I didn't know. I'm reading through the Bible. My wife's helping me. And I understand I'm supposed to be giving. You know what I'm saying? When you start to learn things like that, say yes to God instead of arguing with Him. My last verse is this, Hebrews 2:3. God's given us the burning bush, baby. It's right there in the house. And my challenge to you is this verse. How shall you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? It ain't going to fly. You're not going to get to heaven one day and go, well, I mean, but if, I mean, I'm let it ain't going to fly. You heard the Bible at the church you go to. You have the Bible in the house you live in. You're not going to escape. If you're not a believer in Jesus, excuse me, you're going to get burned. You listening? Say, God is a consuming fire. And one day, if you don't accept His way, yes, sir, Jesus. If you don't accept His way, you might not like it. Big deal. We'll see you and God duke it out one day. You're going to lose, friend. Okay? Who are you, God? I am that I am. That's who I am. That's all you need to know, Jack. That's God. Amen? He loves you. He gave His Son Jesus. You'll not escape if you neglect His great salvation that He's given to you in Jesus Christ. Don't miss your what? Moment with God. Let's praise the Lord for His Word this morning. Can we do that? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Amen.